Heavenly Father, thank you for our opportunity to worship you today, to sing to you, to pray to you, to hear the scripture read. Dear Lord, we ask now that in this endeavor, in preaching the word, that as always, your spirit may move and that these words may indeed be yours and not mine. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, I'm sure you've heard the old saying, a rolling stone gathers no moss. It's pretty clear that in the Gospels, in all the Gospels, that Christ is someone in which moss is not gathering upon his feet. He is on the move continuously, it seems. He stays maybe a couple days in some places, and then he is on his way. You know, often in our lives, it's quite the opposite. We get stuck. It could be emotionally we get stuck. Maybe we're in a cycle of bad relationships in our lives, and we keep choosing the wrong person to date, right? And we get stuck in that kind of that cycle. It could be spiritual. It could be that we're comfortable where we are and we don't want to change. And we get stuck in that place and don't grow spiritually. And so moss starts to form upon us in a figurative sense. You probably heard of Leo Tolstoy. He's the author of a classic called War and Peace. But he also wrote a lot about scriptural things and biblical things. And he writes about the story of the lost sheep. And you'll remember in that one sheep goes out on his own and gets lost in the wilderness. 99 stay back. The good shepherd goes and gets that lost sheep. And then it says that there's more joy in heaven over one lost that repents and come back than the 99 who stayed. And Tolstoy says that, kind of building on that and focusing on that, he says that even though it's the one sheep that is, you know, chooses to run away and to be lost and so forth, he's actually to be applauded more because he's taking a step towards God. Because obviously the shepherd came and got him, and he represents those who walk away but then come back. And he says that's to be applauded more than the 99 who stayed there and didn't change at all or didn't grow at all. We see the importance of movement, even if you've backslid, right, to move forward and to keep moving wherever you're at, to keep moving on the journey with God. You know, Christ the Good Shepherd is an agent of change. He's the mover. He's coming after us, and he wants us to join him on the journey. In 1 Samuel 16:1, in our Old Testament reading today, Samuel, the prophet, is upset and depressed about Saul because he didn't work out as a king. And God has chosen David instead. And this is from that first verse. Says, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way." And I thought, oh, that verse there, be on your way. That's what Jesus wants us to do spiritually in our lives, is be on the way. Don't get stuck too long. And keep moving. You know, in the season of Lent, it's a season of the church in which, you know, God offers us this opportunity to break the patterns of quicksands in our lives, in those times in which things that are making us stay stuck. And of course, we don't do this by our own will or power, but by submitting to the journey of Lent, we invite God to help us in those times to get moving again, to get on to the promised land, if you will. You guys know that Israel wandered for 40 years in the desert. So They were delivered from Egypt in slavery, and they were going to the promised land that God was going to give them. And it was just this wilderness of Zin in between that. And it actually, if they just would have walked straight from where the wilderness began into where it ended, and then went into the promised land, it only would have been an 11-day journey. But it ends up taking them 40 years to get out of it. And so in a literal sense, Israel is stuck in the desert for quite some time. And it's because of spiritual things. They're stuck spiritually. And so God isn't ready to take them there to the land that he's going to give them. They need to do some work. They need to be worked on for a little bit. And that's why Lent has 40 days. That's one of the metaphors that the 40 years of wandering connects to, along with Jesus' 40 days in the desert as well. God's up to some more moves in our gospel today. In the Gospel of John, chapter 9, he encounters a man who was born blind, and he heals him, and then the man is off and going. And in verse 8 of chapter 9, it says, "His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, 'Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?' Some claimed that he was. Others couldn't figure out whether it was him or not." So he used to. I think that's the key word there. He used to sit there and beg, and now Jesus has him off and running and on the move and going. You know, one of the fruits of God's constant quest with us is that our lives are changed forever. And that's what Easter, of course, is about. God has come in Christ to give us new life, not only in the time to come, but now in this life and here. And we see that in the life of this man today in the gospel. We see that in the life of David as well. You know, these moves that happen in our lives, they can be all kinds of things. God is not bound to a certain way to act. And they can often be very powerful. Sometimes they're quiet, but they're always powerful. And we should not miss the chance to heed what God is showing us in those times. Sometimes they're not as dramatic as being healed from blindness. But nevertheless, God comes. Be looking for those moments. Those are the ways in which God is calling us to come back on the move with him. And you know, we may not understand everything about it. And that's okay. God isn't after spiritual masters. He just wants people that have a heart for him and want to join him on the journey. We don't have to have it all figured out, as the saying goes. We just have to take the next step. And God invites us on that step. In John chapter 9:25 from our gospel today, it's a really powerful verse that kind of explains this. You know, the Pharisees are questioning him about Jesus, whether he's a sinner. And he says, "Look, I don't know whether this guy is a sinner. All I know is that I was blind and now I see." It's just a beautiful, beautiful verse that really gives testimony to the fact that, again, we don't have to have it all figured out. We don't have to know everything. We just have to know what God and recognize what God is doing in our lives and to continue to walk and to journey with him. There was a recent convert to Christianity, and he was talking with a friend who was an unbeliever, and the unbeliever was questioning him some, and he was saying, "So you have been converted to Christ?" And the new convert said, "Yes." And then he says, "Then you must know a great deal about him. Tell me, what country was he born in?" "I don't know," he said. "What was his age when he died?" "I don't know." "How many sermons did he preach?" "I don't know." You certainly know very little for a man who claims to be converted to Christ. You are right, he said. I'm ashamed to know so little about him, but this much I know. 3 years ago, I was into drugs. I was in debt. My family had fallen to pieces. They dreaded the sight of me. But now I've given that up. We are out of debt, and ours is a happy home. My children eagerly await my return home each evening. All this Christ has done for me. This much I know of Christ. You know, I was talking with Danny, as I said, before our soup supper this week and our article that we read. And he was saying that, you know, you can do the cross individually. You can suffer individually. He says, but with new life, like this man experienced in the story I just said, with new life, it's always communal. Easter is always communal. And so the new life that he's working in the congregation, in the life of the brothers and sisters in Christ and those who are outside that fellowship. But he's doing so communally. And, you know, we see the fruits of that in this story because what does it say? His children eagerly await his return home. There's been more effects than just his transformation that has transformed his home, his family. There's unity there now. There's happiness there now. And so we see when God is at work, it does, of course, change the person. It changes us. But then when this new life happens, it also changes those around him. And that's a communal event. That's a celebratory event for all. So Jesus changes lives individually and communally. Another story I want to share with you of a pastor who was having trouble with his heater at his furnace at the parsonage, and he had it checked, and the guy, the technician came out and checked it and gave it a 100% clean bill of health and went on his way. And one Saturday in January, he said he awoke very early and tired. And he checked the clock, and so he just thought that he needed more sleep, so he went back to sleep. And then later on, he woke up in a stupor, and he looked at the clock, and it was almost noon. And he tried to get up and out of bed, and his head was throbbing, and he couldn't move. And he fell back into bed again. And at that moment, he saw a little child dressed in white. And she said, and he said to her, how did you get in here? How did you get into my house? And the little girl gestured toward him, pointing toward the door. She said, you must get up and get out, or you will never get out. And so he started to crawl towards the door and down the hall, and he collapsed on the front steps of his house outside, and the child was gone. And heating experts were called, and the house was filled with carbon monoxide. And he had a conversation with another pastor, and he says, I think that child in my room was some sort of angel. I think God sent her to warn me. And the guy questioned him and didn't really believe him and was unsure. And he said, all I know is a few minutes more and I would have been dead. And so, again, we don't have to have it all figured out. God's going to do all kinds of different things, even send angels in our ways at times to lead us to where he wants us to be, to get on the move, even if it's crawling, down the hall at a snail's pace, right? God still calls us, and he comes to us, and he calls us to move. You know, this week I felt like our soup supper was one of those moments in the life of our church that It was a special evening. And God has provided through this article and through our conversation and through Danny and so forth, a vision for our church moving forward. And I saw God at work in the life of our congregation through that fellowship and fun and food, but also through our conversation and that gave me great joy to see how God was on the move with us on Wednesday, continuing to call us and give us vision. You know, finally in the gospel today, the Pharisees in John 9:26. You know, they keep asking this man over and over. Then they hurled insults at him. No, sorry, go back. 26. Then they ask him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? I've told you already, and you did not listen." Right? He keeps telling them, and he keeps asking. And so, you know, the Pharisees, the moss may have gathered a little bit on their feet. And, you know, this, of course, isn't just the Pharisees' problem. All of us, and I'm a big one of this, struggle with change, you know, in our lives, whatever it is. I'm a creature of habits, and disrupting those habits are hard. And you know, but sometimes that's what God is calling us to do. But, you know, it seems like moss is gathered upon their feet, and their hearts maybe too. And sometimes we resist change just because it, you know, it doesn't feel right to us. But here's this man who's, you know, obviously been changed. He's no longer at his post upon the road, sitting there and begging. And things have happened and he's on the move and things are changing. And these Pharisees are being called to see the change that the Son of God is in their midst. The Messiah has come and that God is on the move for them. Too. You know, so I think sometimes we like the way things are, and we like it because we can understand it, it's familiar, and we know it. But God, our God in Christ, cannot be tamed. And he is a rolling stone who will continue to roll on. And he calls us to join him.